Okay. So it should be Le'ilui Nishmata. We continuing our regular shiur in Rav Kook's Agarita, his commentary on the Midrashic aspect of the Gemara in Masechet Shabbat. This is on Daf Lamed Gimel Amud Bet. And quick review, because we missed 2 weeks. Although they say that as we get older, we remember our older memories better than our younger memories, more recent memories. So it's good that it was 2 weeks ago, so there's a better chance that people remember it. The Gemara tells the story of Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, how he got into the cave. He spoke against the Romans. They heard about it. They put out a death penalty on Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. And he had to flee for his life. And he spent 13 years in the cave. There's 12, and then another one. We won't go into the details, the whole story again. And then when he comes out, being that he wanted to save his clothing, that it should last for many years, he covered himself, he and his son, Rabbi Lazar, they covered themselves up to their neck in sand all day when they learned Torah. And then they would just wear their clothing 3 times a day for davening. And that way they kept their clothes from wearing out. And after 13 years, he left the cave. And he had problems with his skin from spending 13 years in sand. And we saw last time his son-in-law, Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair, the famous tzaddik, says to him... he was crying, and his tears rolled onto the sores on the skin of Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. And Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai yelled from pain. And then his son-in-law said, "Oy, that I see you this way." And Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai says, "It's good that you see me this way. For if you do not find in me these sores and the pain, you would not find in me the Torah that you learn from him." And here, this is where the Gemara comes in. Source number one. When Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai would ask a question, "Havi mefarek le Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair tresar peruka," his son-in-law, Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair, would answer him with 12 different answers. "Lesof ki avi makshi Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair kushia, Havi mefarik le Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, chavdalad piruke." Now, it's interesting that apparently, at first, Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai was the student, and his son-in-law used to answer his questions. But after the 13 years, and the yisurin, the pain that Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai suffered, now, Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair is asking questions of Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, who is now the teacher. And he not only answers him with 12 answers, like his student used to answer him, his son-in-law used to answer him, but he answers him with 24 answers. Now, obviously, the numbers 12 and 24 are symbolic, and that's what Rav Kook is going to talk about. Paragraph Aleph. Kol ha'asagotel yonot atchalatan hema hachushim. The beginning of all understanding is the chushim. Now, chushim can be translated as senses, like the 5 senses, where today they talk about 6 senses, hearing, smelling, seeing, etc. Or chushim can mean a hunch, that you smell an idea. And as we'll see in the writings of Rav Kook, both are used. So again, we're talking about kol ha'asagot elyonot atchalatan hema chushim, the beginning of all understandings, of the high spiritual understandings. It begins with the senses. Shehema roshiim shel pihem bnuyot hamuskalot harishonot. Now, if it's talking about the 5 senses, obviously, whenever we understand something is because we heard a new idea, which is based on previous ideas which we saw, or that we heard, that we learned, etc., etc. Hachacham ha'amiti hachoder ledat or hemet, the true scholar who can zero in can zoom in on the light of true knowledge, kishiyavu liyashiv davar al mechono, when he is coming to answer questions. We all know that learning is based on questions. And every daf in the Gemara is based on questions. Questions, answers, questions, answers. And Rav Tzvi Yehuda Kook always used to say that only somebody who doesn't have answers is afraid of questions. In Judaism, we're not afraid of answers, and therefore we at Davka encourage questions. I think I told you once about my first son's first kashya. When Netanel was, he must have been like 4 years old, he was sitting on the table in the kitchen. And I said that the custom is not to sit on a table where we eat. So he asked, why not? So I simply said to him, the Gemara says that a table that we eat is like the Mizbeach. It's like the altar in the Beit HaMikdash. To which my four-year-old son asked, so what's the problem? The Kohanim walk on the altar. So why can't I walk on the table? Which is a pretty good question for a four-year-old. Why do I tell you the story? Because in Judaism, we are very proud of our children asking good questions. And that is how you learn. So when a student asks a question, the idea is in order to clarify the truth. If you see, I originally translated the word chushim as hunches, but a better translation is senses. Okay, so we are in source 1 Aleph. For those who are new here, I apologize, we usually don't have such problems. And Rav Kook writes as follows. Kol ha-sagotel yonot hatchalatan ema achushim, shehema roshim, she'al pihem bnuyot ha-muskalot ha-rishonot. All of our understanding is based on our senses, on our hunches. And then hachacham amiti achoder ladat or hemet, a true scholar, when he wants to zero and zoom in on the light of truth, especially in Torah, kishiyavo liyashev davar al mechono, when somebody asks him a question, and as we said, in Judaism, learning is based on questions, lo yistapek basarat pliya mitzad echad shirak dichiyat hargasha sichlit mimkoma. Here Rav Kook is dealing with the beautiful question that I have to admit I didn't think of. Why does one need 12 answers to a question? It's enough to have one answer. So Rav Kook is answering that if you just supply one answer to one question, then it seems that you are intellectually dealing with the question, but you haven't totally encompassed the concept. Piska bet. Omnam, tochen kol plia, hi liyasher et ha'akara ha'kolelet, al pnei kol ha'merchav shel ha'avana l'chol tzdadea. The goal of understanding is not just to be able to answer the question and not just have an answer to every question, but the goal of understanding is to mekif, to totally encompass the concept with a higher understanding. Hakafa kolelet biyichusa lachushim hi mituaret b'sheshet hatzdadim asher l'sheshet haktzavot. Here Rav Kook is getting into the symbolism. Tzvia, you can please lower the screen. Rav Kook is getting into the symbolism of the number 12 and the number 24. The number 6 symbolizes the 6 directions of the world. The 4 directions, north, south, east, and west, up and down. Those are the 6 sides of the physical world. Rav Kook in certain places also deals with the 6 senses. And that's why the concept of chushim here, which can be translated also as senses, and also as a basic hunch, to understand, Rav Kook says that the basic understanding must encompass all six possible directions. In other words, if you ask a question and you just get an answer, but it doesn't seem totally clear, or as they say in Yiddish in the Beit Midrash, klor, then something is off. Paragraph Gimel. Omnam mitoch hamuchash yagia ad hamuskal hamufshat shel umato, that through the senses a person will get to the understanding, the corresponding understanding. In other words, here Rav Kook is talking about not just a physical sense of the six directions, but and not just hearing, seeing, smelling, feeling, but what is the sixth sense? The sixth sense is a feeling, an innate feeling that the neshama has that can help us get a deeper understanding. In other words, learning Torah and life in general is not just intellectual, but it also has to be all-encompassing, and it includes our hunches, and it includes all of our senses. Ad she'akafa klalita mitaretzet kol kushya berchive da'ata al kol ha'ofek shel chug ha'argasha me'achushim u'me'ha'seichel hu tresar piruke. That you have to, in order to have a real understanding, it's not just enough to have six. You have to have double that. You have to have 12. Six from the senses, and corresponding to each sense is a deeper understanding. And, obviously, just foreshadowing, after Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai acquired Torah through 13 years in the cave and through the suffering, the Yisurim that he went through that helped him acquire the Torah, the Mesirut Nefesh, then that 12 was doubled to 24. Now, we have to get into this idea of what are these senses? What is the chush? So let us see together in source number 2. Sviya, if you could please scroll down to source number 2. This is Rav Kook from the Shmone Kvatzim, from the previously unpublished writings of Rav Kook. We're going to be learning today a lot of sources from the previously unpublished letters, writings. And Rav Kook writes as follows, source number 2. Al yedei ha-hergel b'kedushat ha-ma'aseh. When a person is regular, v'targilenu b'toratecha, is accustomed to saying brachot all the time, to learning Torah all the time, to doing the mitzvot on a regular basis, and that brings a certain amount of kedusha. Asher kedushanu b'mitzvotav. We, our holiness is revealed through the mitzvot that we do. Kedushat ha-machshava, but in addition to the holiness from our actions, there is a holiness from our thoughts, that our thoughts are supposed to be holy. Ukedushat ha-dveikut elohit bargasha v'cheshek pnimi. A third aspect, in addition to our actions and our thoughts, is there has to be a feeling of dveikut, a feeling for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. B'shkedat ha-Torah ve'achochma ha-Elohit ha-mekubelet, a yearning, a spiritual learning and affinity towards Torah, with all these three things together, your holiness of action, holiness of thoughts, and the feeling that we have for Torah, mitchadesh be'adam chush miyuchad, shebo hu mavchin ben atam shel higayon shenovea mikdusha uben higayon shel chol. Here Rav Kook is explaining that chush is a sense which is higher than understanding. After we have holiness of actions and of understanding and of feeling, that is when we can feel the chush. The chush is a spiritual sense. Now, it's interesting. because in the two sources that we've seen till now, we see that it goes both ways. In Enaya that we saw in Rav Kook's commentary in source 1, it says that the chush, let's call it the sense, that a person has an inner sense, that's a better translation, an inner sense, helps us get to logic. Anybody, excuse me, who has learned Tanakh or Gemara in depth, knows that you start with a question, and when you're looking for the answer, you go by your hunch, by your inner sense. And that inner sense eventually can help you arrive at logic. Here, in source number 2, we see the opposite is also true. That logic and action and thoughts brings us to this higher inner sense. Let's see another aspect. Tzvia, please, let's scroll down to source number 5. In source number 5, Rav Kook writes, Chush miyuchad hu lakir et hakdusha ha-elohit biyichuda. Sgula zu miyuchedet liYisrael. Am Yisrael has a special inner sense that helps us understand the holiness of God in his unity. In other words, there's a special inner sense that is found in the Jewish people. We know also that when somebody converts to Judaism, he also gets the Jewish neshama, which also has that special chush, that special sense. Let's see another example of the sense. Let's jump down to source number 9. Here, oh, it's on your sheets, it's source number 7. Oto Atziur. Oto Atziur ha'elyon shel haskala haruchanit. The same picture that we have, the imagination that we have from spiritual understanding, einenu mitztamtzem b'seichel hegyoni. It is not, spiritual understanding is not just IQ. It's not just logic. Ein shum haskala yichula lahagbilo. Logic, for example, in IQ, cannot limit a person's spiritual understanding. V'chol omitz havayato v'ashraato shel adam ba'a yidei koach hakodesh shel emunato. And all of this comes from his basic emunah, his belief in God. Ziv hachayim, the shining of life, hachazak, the strong shining of life, hu or haemunah, is the shining light of emunah, of belief in God. Chush haemunah haelohit b'chol godel izuzo. And the inner sense, here again is the chush, the inner sense of emunah that we have in God, ze hachayim amitim, that is life itself. Understand, emunah is not just understanding. There's a famous book called Permission to Believe. Permission to Believe infers that belief is something that you have before you understand it. Even before it's logic. A friend, I once heard a beautiful mashal, a beautiful parable of a little kid who saves up his money and he goes to buy a kite. I never was able to fly a kite, but I've seen other people flying kites. And he goes into the toy store with all his pennies and nickels and he buys the most beautiful kite. And he goes out to the park. And he starts running, and little by little, he unravels the string, and the kite starts flying really high, and he's running back and forth and having a good time with a kite that he worked so long and hard to buy. And an old man is sitting there and watching him running back and forth, and he says, "Little boy, why are you running back and forth all the time?" So the kid said, "'Cause I'm flying a kite." And the older man looked up at the heavens and said, "I don't see a kite." "How do you know that there's a kite there?" So the little boy answered, "Because I feel the tug." on my hand. The tug of the kite on the string, that is the tug that we have to believe in God. Now, belief is strengthened by logic. If you can prove the existence of God, if you could look at Jewish history and see the hand of God. Rav Kook explains that belief is strengthened also by emotion. If somebody has an emotional experience, a beautiful sunset, a spiritual experience, something dramatic that happened to him, a certain prayer, a feeling on Yom Kippur, all of these can strengthen our emunah, but emunah is a chush. It is an inner sense that we have. Let's see one last example of that inner sense. I brought for you a story, source 8, that Sachli Mordechai Gimpel Volk, Rav Moshe Tzvi Neria, one of the students of Rav Kook, says that he spoke with this Rabbi Mordechai Gimpel Volk, who was a distant relative of Rav Kook's. And he was a descendant of Rav Mordechai Gimpel Yaffe, who was also, he was the joint great-grandfather of Rav Kook and this Rav Volk. Sha'alti pam et Rav Kook. So this far cousin tells the story. I once asked Rav Kook, Ech kara davar shesaba zal shaya ko masur linyan yishuv Eretz Yisrael. Our grandfather, Rav Mordechai Gimpel Yaffe, he was such a Zionist, such a lover of Eretz Yisrael. How is it possible lo yitzliach lafil benosei zeh sheesiko toar bei, this love of Eretz Yisrael that so much he was so focused on, et echad miyuchad migdolei ador shaya mo'od miyudad ito. Rav Neria doesn't want to say the name of this other rabbi, but apparently there was this other rabbi who was not a Zionist and not in favor of Aliyah, as was not uncommon among rabbis at the end of the 19th century. And this cousin asked Rav Kook, how is it possible that our great-grandfather, who loved Eretz Yisrael so much, was not able to influence this other famous rabbi, that he should also become a Zionist? Uchuvata Rav Haita, the second paragraph, Rav Kook's answer was, Lezika miyuchedet l'Eretz Yisrael, nachutz chush miyuchad. In order to feel a connection, a special connection to the land of Israel, you need a special chush. You need that inner sense. Vezika zui kmo chush shishi la'adam Yisrael. Sound familiar? Usually we talk about 5 physical senses, right? Hearing, seeing, feeling, etc. But the 6th sense that Am Yisrael has is this inner drive to be connected to Eretz Yisrael. Ve'en lavo b'ta'anot o b'drishot el mishu im achush ha'shishi hazeh chaser etzlo. And if you come across somebody who doesn't have that drive and love for the land of Israel, I guess he's missing that inner sense of the Jewish people. Now, just about all the people who are participating here felt that inner sense and were drawn to Eretz Yisrael. Just like the Chalutzim 120 years ago, most of them were not even religious, but they were drawn to the land of Israel. I once heard from Avital Sharansky, that's Anatoly Sharansky's wife. If you remember, the Soviet communists told them on their wedding night that they were refuseniks, and they are going to give Avital, the Kala, a one-time chance to leave Russia to make Aliyah. One-time chance, but without her husband. And throughout the wedding, that's all they could think of. And in the end, Anatoly convinced her to follow her chush and to make Aliyah. And he said, we have to believe that the day will come that I will join you as well. And we all know the end of the story. that Anatoly Sharansky was framed in a kangaroo court. He was sentenced, as being a spy for the CIA, and I think he was sentenced to death, and then hard labor in Siberia. And Baruch Hashem, in the end, he got out, and today they live in Yerushalayim. But when Avital Sharansky got out of Russia, she came to Israel, and she started studying in Machon Meir, Machon Ora, for women, and she started becoming religious. And I was on a hakshara, just like many of the participants here, especially tonight, and they brought Avital Sharansky to speak to us, and she spoke to us how she was raised in a totally atheistic home. Her parents were Jewish, but they were diehard communists. And she was raised on the idea that you are a communist. Yeah, you're Jewish, but that's irrelevant. We don't believe in God. We don't believe in religion. We believe in the brotherhood of mankind, etc., etc. Nevertheless, when she was a teenager, she explained to us, I felt drawn like a magnet to want to make Aliyah. I felt drawn like a magnet to go to the Beit Knesset, and we young people, we didn't know how to daven, but we used to sit outside the Beit Knesset in Moscow. That's where she met Anatoly. That's where the Jews used to hang out and talk about Aliyah and talk about their dream of the crumbling of the Soviet Union and eventually coming to the Holy Land of Israel. And I think most of the people here grew up on Solidarity Sunday and Triple SJ and going to protests. I remember taking my chanichim at 12 o'clock at night on a Saturday night. We had them all dress in black from head to toe. This was Shevet Suriel of New York. And we prepared this plaster and we printed up 10,000 pictures of Anatoly Sharansky saying, "Free Sharansky now," plaster them all over Riverdale, outside the Soviet mission, and we spent all night doing that. And this was part of our being teenagers. And so when Avital Sharansky, who was not raised religious, she did not grow up in Bnei Akiva, so she tried to explain, how was she and Anatoly, how were they drawn to Eretz Yisrael? She answered, it was like the pull of a magnet. I can't explain it, but now that I'm studying in Machon Ora, the writings of Rav Kook, I understand that it is called the Neshama Yisraelit. Am Yisrael has a special spark, and every Jew has that spark, and even a Jew who did not have a religious upbringing or religious education, they have this inner sense to be drawn to the land of Israel, to believe in God. And again, even if it's something that you can't logically prove or that you can't explain the emotion, emunah is a chush. It is a sense. Let's call it an inner sense that we have. To summarize, what Rav Kook is telling us is that sometimes this inner sense helps us logic to get to logic, and sometimes logic can help us reveal this inner sense, but the idea of understanding is based on that sixth sense, and it is the six senses of the chush, of the inner sense, total understanding, together with the six points of total sense and total understanding, that's 12. And then, if you really, really understand it, you can get to this quote-unquote 24. What is the idea of 12 or 24? It is the idea of having it all, having logical understanding, having answers to the questions, having emotional, doing the actions, and that inner sense, and all of it together works together. Maybe we'll just finish off with one last source. In source, please let's scroll up to source number 3. Here, Rav Kook writes, Kol motza me'orer kol ha-motzaim kulam. Every word that a person says is connected with all the words that you say. Kol chush, every sense that you have, me'orer kol ha-chushim kulam. All of our senses and inner sense interact together. That's why on Havdalah, we use sight. On the candle, we smell the besamim, we hear the Havdalah. That's Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda. That's Re'iyah, Shmiyah, Leviyah, and Odeh, speaking. The idea that all of the senses interact. And we all know that when you hear something and you see it, or if you could see the food, it's the same thing. It's like, remember, they say the wine tasters have 5 S's. I looked it up. See, swirl, sniff, sip, and savor. The idea is that you're supposed to enjoy the wine with all as many senses as you can, and that way you'll really enjoy because the senses work together. So here we see that all, just as our words and thoughts, Rav Kook goes on to say, all work together, all of the Torah mitzvot, they interact. It's a package deal, Torah Tashem Tmima. So too all of our chushim, which is our topics today, whether you translate it as hunch, whether you translate it as sense, whether you translate it as common sense, whether you translate it as the 5 senses, they all interact together because they all come from the same God, and we are unified beings that we unify all of these senses, inner and outer and logical and emotional, all together, and they all work together to help us have a deeper understanding of the beautiful world and of the beautiful Torah.